Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. We're going to call this Gorgeous Curiosities. Why not? Welcome to Victor Wind.
Hello, my name is Victor Wind, and welcome to my Museum of Curiosities, Fine Art, and Unnatural History.
You are an artist, writer, and a pataphysicist. What the fuck is a pataphysicist?
Pataphysics is the science of imaginary solutions.
We're all fabulous.
We're all disciples of the great Alfred Jarry, author of Ubu Wa, and the, I don't know, proto-surrealist and Dadaist and absurdist.
Fantastic. What does the museum solve?
Well, the museum solves the enormous problem of what to do with your time. You can come in and we will take your time away from you for as long as we can.
Excellent. A better solution than morphine. Does the same.
Cheaper than morphine.
Cheaper than morphine,
you
better for the health.
You can't get opium.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Better for the health. Excellent. Well, take me through the museum. Full disclosure, I have been here before, but I have never been on a bespoke tour.
So on the ceiling, as you come in, it's my sort of homage to the traditional cabinet of curiosities like the Tradescant or Ollie Worm had. So there's alligators on the ceiling, crocodiles, caiman, ostrich eggs, dried sharks, puffer fish, also the skeleton of a mermaid, a kitten with wings, the skeleton of a wolfin, the cross between a whale and a dolphin, a giant flying squirrel, the taxidermied head of a unicorn, the skull of a unicorn.
Fantastic.
As you come down the stairs, you pass some taxidermied miniature dogs.
Oh my God.
Which are only, what, 2 or 3 inches long?
Oh my God, they're tiny and gorgeous. Full disclosure, not only have I been here, but I have taken one of your, three of your taxidermy classes.
Oh, which ones have you done?
I have done death's head moth, bees, and corvid. I did a magpie.
Was that good?
Fantastic.
You happy
I loved it.
With what you got?
Well, I think I did a pretty good job for my first one, because when I took it back on the tube, someone said, oh, it's looking very poorly. And I was like, considering it's dead and stuffed, I think I did. Poorly is good. I win. Fantastic. We are downstairs. We've gone down the gilded spiral staircase.
This is a mermaid.
It is a mermaid. Oh, my God. She's more frightening than inviting.
Well,
she
I think if you were on
siren-like.
If you were on a ship for a long time, this sort of thing would be.
She'd be totally hot.
Yeah.
Just your cup of tea.
Be delightful.
Oh, we have many heads and fetuses.
Yeah, now I have a big collection of things with, well, depending on what you mean by big, but I have a lot of animals with two heads or extra limbs.
Uh-huh.
There's a two-headed lamb over here.
There is a two-headed lamb, a beautifully taxidermied two-headed lamb in a glass case.
Oh, and this is a picture you said, this is the dandy corner
Yes. Dedicated
to Sebastian Horsley and Stephen Tennant, and that's the photograph you said your son didn't enjoy.
Yes,
but perhaps
exactly.
Now he would enjoy it.
Perhaps he would enjoy it as a 15-year-old. I'm not so sure.
This is the leg bone of an Irish giant.
The Irish giant?
An Irish giant.
An Irish giant. As you say, it's in the Hunterian Museum, are they? I think they're repatriating the Irish giant.
They're taking a lot of stuff off display that you and I would probably rather like to see.
Yes.
Which is rather sad.
Yes.
This is a human intestinal worm.
Wow. Who was that taken off?
Who knows? It's a Victorian specimen, but 25% of the world population today has those wriggling around inside them.
Oh my
which
God.
Which I think would probably be quite pleasurable.
Yes. A little wormy, squirmy action. Why do we associate cabinets of curiosity? Why was this such a Victorian thing?
Well, I would dispute that. I would say that cabinets of curiosity have probably always been with us. I mean, there are certainly accounts of of Greeks and Romans who collected seashells and interesting things. But they really came into their own as we know them today at the dawn of the age of discovery, when people started travelling all over the world and just bringing back strange and wonderful things that were not necessarily easily explained, such as the Tradescants in Lambeth, Don Saltero, who ran a barber shop but filled it with wonders he got off sailors, or Olly Worm in Denmark. Do you want to see something really disgusting?
Yes, always.
This is the only known parasite that eats an organ and then replaces it. It's a tongue-eating louse, and it gets into the mouth of tropical fish. It eats their tongue, and then it attaches themselves to the itself to the stump of the tongue,
and
becomes
the
tongue, and apparently has no negative effect.
What? There is a beautiful photograph of that louse, that lousy louse, in the book.
Yes.
And it is beautiful and terrifying, as it should be, I think. if that's your job.
You know, I don't think I'd want to kiss a fish with that as a tongue.
What are these? These look like huge versions of it.
These are just giant woodlice from a Pacific island.
Oh, oh my God. Wow. Okay.
I have a little section dedicated to the relics of extinct birds. These are the extinct bird feathers.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a dodo bone.
Oh, my God, the extinction.
And down here, this is my magic pebble that was... It's believed to have a benevolent spirit in it, and in olden days when people were sick, they would swallow it and it would do battle with the malevolent spirit in their insides and defeat it. And of course it would nearly always work, because almost all tummy complaints are cured within...
3-4 days of passing of a stone.
Exactly.
Well, and it is, I suppose that was cheaper than getting an exorcism. Swallow the stone.
This is a shrunken human head from the Amazon.
Oh my God, it's perfect. It's really beautiful.
It is really beautiful.
It looks, it's just exactly as you'd imagine an elf or Santa shrunk. It's the mini Santa. It's fabulous. And literally, if you shrunk your head, that's basically what we would get.
You could do
I'm
that,
I'm saying
yeah.
you, yes. Not me. I don't want to imagine my head shrunk.
Not so skilled.
Is this Pablo Escobar's...
It is Pablo Escobar's...
That's insane!
...gold-plated hippopotamus skull. And here's the article from the Financial Times about the sale. It mentions the skull somewhere down there.
That's insane. Wow, you have to be the richest man in the world to do that.
Very beautiful.
It is very beautiful. It's very large. So Pablo Escobar brought all these hippos to his property.
He had a sort of little zoo in his ranch in Medellin, and he wanted hippos because they're quite nice, and also because he thought that if he put hippos in the lake behind his house... they would act as sort of guard dogs.
Yeah.
And now, of course, and this was one that the early ones that died, and he thought he'd have the skull plated in gold. But now the
as you do.
But now the hippos are a big problem, because they've sort of multiplied and they've got no predators and they're slowly spreading out into the Amazon.
Wow. Like that ripple effect is insane. Is this the temple?
This is the occult temple of Agape.
Yes. And this is only the outer chamber.
The outer chamber. You went through that trapdoor, which we're not allowed to do.
No.
You'd get to their inner sanctum.
Wow. And they
come
practice.
Here and they practice. Yeah.
Wow. And what exactly is Agape?
It's not entirely clear to me. It's an occult order, and they claim to be very old indeed. And when they were kicked out of their present premises and they moved here, we found some sort of some newspapers from the Second World War and some gas chambers. So they'd definitely been there since before the Second World War. Whether they were part of the occult revival in the 19th or early 20th century, or whether they go further back than that, I don't know. I don't know much about them. They're very nice, but I've never been to their ceremonies. They're just, they're very welcome here, and that's all I really know.
They have gotten some publicity from being here, I would assume. And have their numbers expanded at all, or no?
Hard to tell, to be honest. They're a funny bunch, and they appear when they appear, and they have a key, so they can come. Oh, they normally come when we're not open, and that's all I can say. Unfortunately.
Fantastic. That's a good occult society.
Problem is, in order to go, they say that I was very welcome, but in order to go, one has to go through so many. Sort of preliminary rituals and stuff like that, and I'm not that interested. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
It's a time component.
Yeah. These are some illustrations of French monastic life.
Yes.
And they sort of show why I think anti-clericism really took hold in France in the late 19th century.
Well, it looks a lot more fun than monastic life is usually cracked up to be.
Yes.
Less celibate.
Yeah.
Less celibate, more horny.
Miniature unicorns from the sea.
Oh, sweet.
And the skull of a cyclops.
Wow, where is that from?
Well, it was dug up in Crete quite a long time ago. And of course, you know, with all the legends of cyclops, what else could it be?
And you have mummified fairies.
Do have mummified fairies. Yeah.
They're absolutely adorable.
They were given to me by an old lady in Ireland, and she said when she was young there were a lot of them about. But once she got a bit older, people don't see them anymore. But she also said that perhaps they were still about, and just people were, and the fairies might have just got very good at hiding. I don't know.
They're evolving over time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a human scalp, 18th century human scalp.
Wow. That looks like something right out of Versailles. Flouncy hair. And lots of blood.
Yeah.
Which looks rather fresh, despite being old. And here's a hanging man.
This is a self-portrait as a suicide. I did a whole series called The Sorrows of Young Wind.
And there you are, hung.
Hung from the neck until I'm dead.
Do you battle with depression?
It has happened. Yes. It happens to most people, doesn't it?
I was going to say, I should think so. It's good to experience once you're out of it. It's good to have known.
I don't know. I mean, it comes and goes, doesn't it? And there are definitely ups and downs. But it was a series I did called The Sorrows of Young Wind, which was about Goethe's book, The Sorrows of Young Werther.
Yes.
And was supposed to be taking the piss out of the sort of German romantic movement. But I think if you have to explain that, then it's failed.
Do you miss the suit?
I've got lots of suits.
I was going to say, it's quite a gorgeous jacket.
It is.
That was a bit of a sacrifice. Never mind the suicide. But
Yeah, I'm in this cabinet. I have it's to do with divination. I have a jar of urine that was used for scrying. Scrying is looking into a crystal ball. And traditionally, service magicians have used urine both. I mean, it's quite funny how the similarities between ancient medicine and folk medicine and modern medicine, because nowadays you go to a doctor and you wee in a jar and they put bits of paper in them that change colour that tell them things. And before, you would go and you would wee in a jar and they'd look into the liquid and see what was troubling you, in a way. Or they would use the urine of particularly powerful seers.
And then you would look in that. So in really olden days, you find sort of 14th, 15th century accounts of people using Merlin's urine. And this is a jar full of moles. Moles have always been used in magic. I mean, their very appearance counts against them. They're small and dark, and they live underground, and they have big hands.
Yes.
What people do now is they put the mole close to someone they want to know about secretly, and after a bit they recover the mole and they cut it open and they examine the entrails, and that tells them.
Reveals all.
Yeah.
You also have this Sepik spirit basket.
Yes, yeah.
It's beautiful.
I spend at least a month every year in Papua New Guinea.
Why is that?
I think it's the most incredibly beautiful, fascinating, diverse country on earth. Mm. And I got this on the Sepik River, which is, New Guinea has the third largest rainforest in the world, so it's sort of the equivalent of the Amazon rainforest. It's a vast, sort of the Amazon River, vast flooded area. You travel by boat to a land which really seems lost. No, lost in time. It doesn't have electricity. It doesn't have a cash economy. People are living very traditional lives. And their lives are very much in alignment with spirits on a day-to-day basis. And they build vessels for the spirits to live in. And this is a basket that was built for a spirit to live in. It should be hung in someone's home to allow the spirit to live there and protect them.
Why isn't it hung in your home?
I have one in my home, The spirit can protect the museum as well.
Yes. There's lots to protect here.
Coming over here, we can see the preserved front bottoms of Victorian prostitutes.
Now, why that word? Why that word? It's the most horrible thing to call a beautiful vagina.
Front or bottom.
Ah! I love these, though, because literally, I mean, this is the most objectified object ever. It's literally just down to the working parts.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. It's just insane. But why that, it boggles the mind. And I understand why you had to have them, because they should be had, because they exist. But yeah. why the first person existed them?
Well, they're part of a Victorian teaching collection from Glasgow. Yeah.
Okay.
Prepared by Dr. Archibald McCandless. And almost all the specimens he prepared are in the Hunterian Museum, but obviously some of them weren't there. And I've got them next to perhaps the most disturbing thing in all the museum.
Yes.
My collection of McDonald's Happy Toys.
Ronald McDonald.
Not really someone you'd want to play with your children.
No, creepy. And Colonel Sanders. They're all creepy. All those things. Oh my God, you have that one. Yeah, I mean, what was up with that one? That's like the jailbird.
Yeah.
Archetypal jailbird.
Well, I quite like the fries going roller skating.
Oh my God.
And this is a cabinet that contains every single English butterfly that I collected as a child.
Wow! You collected all of these?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And they're all English butterflies.
Those are moths. Those are some of the English moths. This is every single English butterfly.
Wow. Where did you get them?
Well, I went out hunting.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow. With a net and everything.
With a net.
Look at that. It's unbelievable.
They're very beautiful.
Absolutely stunning. Oh, man.
These are some more, like a skeleton of a two-headed kitten, a two-headed calf, an eight-legged lamb. And over here we have the skull of an executed felon.
An executed felon. There's a spoon with a man's head in it. Is that a bezoar?
No, the bezoars are in the other cabinet over there. Do you want to see them?
Yes, I do. That tell me about bezoars.
Well, I think of bezoars as...
I can't pronounce them, obviously.
Well, maybe I can. I think of bezoars as being like pearls. So here there are two of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And they so they form in the insides of ungulates. Perhaps they surround, if a tooth grows in the wrong place, they surround it, or if you swallow something and it slowly gets coated and coated, and they form these incredible round balls, which are intensely beautiful and satisfying to play with.
They fulfill all the requirements. They have sort of a smooth but textured patina. They're absolutely round. How heavy are they?
They're pretty dense.
Yeah. They're like marbles.
Yes.
Like hairball marbles.
And in in medieval times, they were seen to have great magical powers. And could protect people against poisoning. And all the kings and emperors and mighty lords would, they were worth far more than their own weight in gold, would buy them to have them.
Well, to keep a talisman against poisoning. I love it. I've never seen, I've never even heard of them. Fabulous. You have to look very carefully in here. Because if you don't look carefully, you will miss most of everything. There's just tiny tableaus behind there. Tell me about those.
Oh, those are wonderful. There's a lot of these tableaus. It's an art piece by a lady called Lisa Lindquist, who it's called Field for the British Isles. And it's a lot of tableaus of tiny taxidermied animals in strange situations. There's the world's only dancing mole. Over here, we've got Moltar, the fortune-telling mole, and Sholtar, the fortune-telling shrew. But you see a big sign in front of Sholtar's fortune-telling booth that says, "The sum of £100 will be given to anyone who can prove that I am not related to the famous Romany dripsy shrew Shazar the seer."
Fantastic. And Moltar has also a long tail.
Does have a long tail. We're about to publish a book about them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you heard it here first. Fabulous. I'm in line for that one. Tell me about your books, because you have a million books, but you know, only in this book of the museum, only one page is devoted to the books, which I fear is...
Oh, well, I collect. I mean, a lot of things in my life are in the book are just really there in order to serve the purpose of making me chuckle. So I had this large collection of books with perhaps titles that are amuse the small boy in me, such as Enid Blyton's Gay Storybook, The Naughty Nun, or You've Seen Them in Their Sleek Sports Cars. They Have Husbands by Night and Clients by Day. Shopping Center Sex. At Long Last, a novel that cuts to the corrupt heart of suburbia's most shocking scandal, never before published. The Art of Faking Exhibition Poultry. The History and Social Influence of the Potato. The Glands of Destiny. Fish Who Answer the Telephone. And this is a very useful useful book that all wives should have. How to Help Your Husband Get a Head by Dorothy Carnegie. In here there is a casket that contains some of the original darkness that Moses called down upon Earth. Some radioactive seashells from Fukushima. A pair of my soiled underpants that I wore to my last great Halloween party, and some blood that I squeezed from a stone.
And beetles and spiders?
Also, these are parts of my entomological collections that I've built up from all over the world.
I have a fondness for bugs myself.
Good.
I used to love going to Dayrol in Paris.
Yes.
And then you'd get to the end, and then there was sort of a wooden figure of a man. And you're
I always did a double take every time.
Very hard not to spend a lot of money when you go there.
Yes, yes. I viewed it as a spectator sport. So you have been collecting
some Siamese piglets.
Oh my goodness. Oh my good. I love there's the color of formaldehyde things is just the most beautiful alabaster. It's just it's a unique color.
Mm.
Most people probably find it disgusting. I love it. Who is this?
I don't know.
It's like an ocelot, a man stuck in an ocelot's body.
I think what it is the bottom of a deer, and the deer's anus has been turned into a mouth, and there's a couple of eyes above it. And
oh my god!
The tail has been turned into a beard.
It is very frightening and very fascinating. How did you start, and why did you start collecting yourself?
I needed to do something when I woke up in the morning. The days are long, and there's not a lot to do with it.
Is this you in Papua New Guinea?
That's me in West Papua, actually, in the highlands with the Dani people, not far from Wamina.
You seem to be the Westerner under attack.
Yes, and I think they're pretending to eat me.
Fantasy made flesh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you did spend a lot of money. This has to be, as it is, a labor of love.
Yeah.
Oh my god, is that like a giant? That's an even gianter woodlouse.
It is, but that's a deep sea specimen. So it's exactly woodlouse are crustaceans, but they're land living ones.
Oh,
and this is a relative of the woodlouse that lives about 2 kilometers below the sea, off the Trobriand Islands.
It looks like that tongue eater thing. Love bugs, but like that's just a little bit too large for me. It's like way too big.
And this is the manuscript of a novel that I haven't written yet.
I have so many of those. Well, you obviously that's number 10.
Yes.
You have quite a few yourself.
I have quite a few, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I literally, but it being inside of a cabinet of curiosities, which is fantastic. Because literally I could spend hours and hours here.
Please do.
And just looking at just one cabinet. And that's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to spark your imagination.
Yeah.
It's things that have sparked yours and you're sharing.
Exactly.
Which is very generous of you. Thank you very much. So, and tell me, what else is this space used for? Oh, there's a lot of teeth.
There's a lot of teeth. And that's a replica of Nelson's coffin made out of oak from the Victory.
Oh, fab! Random objects
from the shame was a way of life for this sin bum. This is an original midnight reader. I hear some more bezoas, but these are llama bezoas.
How do you find like specifically llama bezoas?
Well, llama bezoas are in the Andes. They are actually believed to have powerful magical properties, and shaman will have them in little sort of pouch of magic pouches that sort of contain magic spells or charms. So is that I got those from a shaman when I was in the Andes many years ago.
Wow! So if a llama dies, like shaman's like, I'm calling the llama.
Well, they eat their llamas and alpacas when they chop them up.
When they're disemboweling, they find them. How fabulous! I love those shells. I call them nipple shells myself.
Yeah.
My friend had breast cancer, so I collected a bunch. I'm like, which kind do you want? Happily, she took it well. What is that? Pig?
That's just a ceramic model of the pig being slaughtered. I bought that in the Ponta Delgada airport in the Azores. It's one of the best airport shops I've ever been to. I also bought some jewellery and some decorative boxes made out of fish scales.
How random. Wow. Fantastic. So tell me about the book.
Why the book?
Well, the book is called The Unnatural History Museum. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the book is really is to create a museum in itself, to create a way of telling the stories that I want to tell about the world, and just talking about the world that exists within our dreams and within our imagination, which is so often lost.
Mm. And you get to curate again.
Exactly. I mean, it's a big... say beautiful book. It's a coffee table book with lavish photographs of individual wonders from my museum.
And also it has lots of beautiful illustrations. Tell me about those.
And the illustrations are done by Theatre of Dolls, who are a Swedish artist and a Finnish artist who I went to art school with, who draw the most exquisitely beautiful, disturbing and possibly even obscene images to go with my text.
And what's lovely about that is that that's what you've created and highlighted, and then what's sparked in their imagination from that.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful dialogue that we have.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Tell me about this tableau.
Oh, have you been to the House of Dreams Museum in East Dulwich?
I haven't.
Oh, you ought to go. It's amazing. It was produced by an artist called Stephen Wright, and he just woke up one morning a few years ago and changed his life, and his whole house is a strange art piece. It's just a normal terraced house, but you know it's his house when you walk down the street, because the trees in the front garden are hung with dolls. There's mosaics going up the wall, and you go through the front door and there's the rooms have been divided up. They're filled with sort of altars and strange creatures and text on the floor, text on the ceiling.
I was going to say, and these sort of, they almost look like papier-mâché piñatas almost, in the form of mole-handed, mole-footed people and things.
Yes, I mean, I think you should visit Stephen and have a look around.
Yes, I think I'm going to have to.
His museum.
Yes, these are some refugees from.
They are refugees. Yeah.
Have washed up from East Dulwich, yeah. House of Dreams. Fantastic! Wow, amazing! Thank you so much for sharing your Cabinet of Curiosities. I have one question. In your acknowledgments, you thanked Virginia Ironside.
Yes.
Who is Radio Gorgeous's agony aunt.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very fond of Virginia. She's a very good friend of mine.
Ah, fantastic. I had no idea. Little circles coming round.
Give her my love.
Absolutely will.
If you see her soon.
Absolutely. Ah, phenomenal. Oh, my God. Another miniature dog. Not so many. But beautifully taxidermied.
Yeah.
With a cake stand on its head, obviously.
Cake stand on its head, yeah.
Obviously. And the biggest spider crab I've ever, giant spider crab I've ever seen in my life. Not that I've seen that many. That's something I run across normally. Oh, fantastic. It is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. I hope it is for everyone. Are these creepy corn things? I keep seeing them around. I don't know why I consider them creepy. Should I consider them creepy?
Well, they're things that when corn dollies were always made at the end of the harvest, and it would house the spirit of the corn, and you keep it in the house, and then you burn it in the spring to release the corn to allow the harvest to happen again.
Okay.
But I don't think they're creepy. I think they're quite pretty.
Yeah. Children of the corn?
Yeah.
No, not so much? Yeah. See, yeah, I can't...
You need to keep the spirits happy, otherwise they become creepy.
Yes. Okay. They turn against you. Okay. Happy spirits. Love you. Mean it. Bye. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I would recommend anyone coming, but if you can't, then get the book. You get a little taste. But it's a wonderfully dense experience coming in here and seeing all of the marvelous things. Anyway, thank you so much. And for more fabulous and wonderful and wise collecting people, go to radiogorgeous.com.